glad you're here. Tell them they look wonderful. Come on, I'm looking around and making sure. Are you doing it? Look at your neighbor and say, you are good looking. Come on. Amen. Don't you realize that God takes delight in you? Amen. He takes delight in you. You are the apple of his eyes. Anybody glad that God loves you? Come on, he loves you. Amen. God loves you. Let's get right into the message, the word this morning. I'm reading from 1 John chapter 2. How many have found out that when you read the scripture, when you study the scripture, you need to know who's doing the talking and who the scripture is speaking to? Sometimes we've tried to appropriate things that really were not written to us in particular. And so, and it's like the old boy that said one time, he was saying, I want to find the word that I need for today. And he opened the Bible and he found the place where Judas went out and hung himself. How many realize that wasn't the word for him for that day? Come on, you need to know who's doing the talking. In this particular setting of scripture, the first chapter, John is speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to unbelievers. But in the second chapter, what John has taken the positive assumption is those who were unbelievers have now become believers. Are you hearing me this morning? That's why he references them, my little children. He's referencing them as already having believed now. All right. He says, my little children, I write you these things so that you may not violate God's law. So that we might be clear here, he's certainly not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're way in the new covenant of grace. How many realize there's still a law even in grace? It's not the Ten Commandments, but there is still God's plan, God's will, God's desire, God's intent. Come on, church. God has a plan for your life. And look what he says. He clarifies and says what they were violating in God's law, and that was sin. He said, you would not to violate God's law and sin. But if anyone should sin, now that's not saying I'm looking forward to all of you sinning. That's not what John is writing. He's simply letting us know that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. Someone to say, praise God. One who will intercede for us with the Father. It is Jesus Christ, the all-righteous, upright, just, who conforms to the Father's will in every purpose, thought, and action. Amen. Verse 2, and he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. All right, so last week, what we talked about, I'm going to need some help back there. It is not going. Just down key it, please. There we go. Last week, we talked about little becomes much with God. And what I was trying to accomplish last week, and those of you that were here, I want you to see Jesus for who he is. I don't want you to see Jesus as someone that can just barely meet your need. I don't want you to think that God is almost able. God did not cause you and I to be survivors or just to survive. God's called us to thrive. God didn't give us the victory to just barely make it. Some would that we just we're going to make heaven by the skin of our teeth. Well, the truth of the matter is you're going to make heaven by the blood of the Lamb. God didn't just barely save you. God has gloriously saved you. How many serve the God that is more than enough? I don't serve a God that can just barely put into my life the basics that I need just to get by. No, God absolutely blesses me. Is anybody blessed in the house? God is more than able. God is more than sufficient. Sometimes I think that the church sees God with a short arm that cannot reach down from the heavens and touch us right where we have need. But I want you to know that our God is a big God. He is a great God. He is a God that is able to do, according to Paul's writings, exceedingly abundantly above all that you might ask or even think. Our God is not slack. Our God is not weak. Our God is a strong God. I want you to know he's more than able. I don't want us to look at God as though he is some puny statue that we sit on our coffee table and worship at evening time. No, he is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. Amen. And whatever we plant becomes our harvest. If you can believe big, God will do big. Come on, if anything's lacking, it's not God, it's us. It's our ability to believe God to do the impossible. Come on, church. Come on, God wants to intervene in your life. He wants to invade your life with all of his goodness and show up big in every area of your life. So this week, I want to talk about sin is no match to grace. And I want to talk about God being our righteousness. So in this, I want to take our text. Could you down key it, please? Hope they don't leave back there. There we go. Christ accepts us, not our sin. Our first part of our outline. God accepts us and not our sin. Let's go to our text. My little children, I write to you these things so that you may not violate God's law and sin. How many realize that God does accept us? And you see, the problem was, in fact, John even writes, he takes several statements in his writings in this particular passage. And John was hard. But you've got to break down and understand what he was saying. He said, if you try to say that you do not have sin, you're a liar. Come on, how many need God? You see, the reason I put a picture of the cross, because the cross made all the difference for me. How many remember that Jesus dealt with a couple of types of people in Scripture? He dealt with what was called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How many remember? And every time that he dealt with these people, what he was dealing with was their arrogance of self-righteousness. In fact, what they would do is they would see themselves above everyone else. They would focus on everything they did. They would say, you don't pray as long as I pray. You don't go to the sanctuary as often as I go to the sanctuary. You don't give as much as I give. Have you seen my chariot? I drive a better chariot than you drive. Have you looked at my camels? Have you seen what I have? God loves me more. You know, I remember as a young believer really not understanding what I know today. Understanding that I used to set my life's walk with Christ based upon that only if I did well did I please God for the day, and if I missed that doing, then somehow God was not only displeased with me, but I kind of felt like I'd fall out of his loving approval. Have you been there? I used to think that if I blew it and if I didn't live exactly on that line that I thought I needed to live, and don't get me wrong, I believe there is a line, there is a standard, but I thought if I blew it, if I got wayward in any way at all, that somehow God didn't love me as much. In fact, I used to think that you could look out at people that were unsaved, and if I wasn't careful, I got sucked into that concept that because I was now a believer that God loved me more than them. I didn't understand the love of God like I know today. See, today I know that God loves everyone exactly the same. I was listening to a minister early this morning, and he brought up something, and I kind of remember when this happened and kind of how I felt, and probably how I felt was very similar to how he felt. How many remember when they killed Osama bin Laden? How many remember that? When that first took place, this minister said today, he said, you know, I got to admit, the very moment that took place, there was kind of a joy that welled up inside of me. In fact, in my mind's thinking, it was like he got what he deserved. He was a murderer and he was a wicked, wicked man. But how many realize God takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked? See, I finally came to the understanding that no matter what I've ever done, it never caused God to love me any less. And no matter what I ever do, it will never cause God to love me anymore. In fact, I know today that God doesn't love me any more than he loves anyone that's in the world today. How many are with me today? And God doesn't love me any less than he loves anybody else. That every one of us are loved by God exactly the same. That is God's love. But don't kid yourself. He doesn't accept sin. That's why he made provision. Amen. The cross is a symbol of victory. It looked like a symbol of death and a symbol of destruction, but it was a symbol of victory for all of us, because without a cross, we are hopelessly and miserably lost. Amen? Hopelessly and miserably lost. So God accepts us, but he does not accept our sin. The Bible says he takes our sin and he casts it as far from us as the east is from the west. And praise the Lord, it is never to be remembered again. Amen? All right, let's look at the next. God, stop living in condemnation. Stop living in guilt. Amen? Look at our text. If anyone should sin, we have an advocate with the Father who will intercede for us. Amen? How many have battled with carrying guilt? How many, just be honest, that sometimes the things that you used to do, and if we're going to be really honest, even some of the things that we do, and you don't have to think about what, if God's disgusted. I get pretty much disgusted with me. Amen? I mean, the truth of the matter is sometimes we do things and, you know, we don't always love people like we ought to love them. Come on, am I talking to me, or is that just the first crowd? Sometimes we just fall short a little bit. We find ourselves not doing it, and we carry. And you know, one of the things that we do often is we're willing to forgive others many times, and we know that God has forgiven us. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes the hardest thing for us to do is to forgive ourselves. Amen. To let go of the guilt. To let go of the shame of failures in your past. To let go of the things that you've hurt in life. Those decisions that you made that, come on, let's admit it, they were terrible decisions. But the truth of the matter is God loves us. And God has forgiven us. You know, I had a wrong idea when I was a child of what the judgment seat of Christ looked like. In my mind's eye, I thought that one day I would stand before the Lord and there would be a giant screen that would cross over the heavens, and behind me would be an army of people that I've known all my life. And flashed before me would be my entire life. Everything from the moment I could remember, of every bad thought, of every wrong deed, of anybody been there besides me? And it would all be played. And the whole time it's playing, and I'm filled with all the shame and all the guilt and all the pressure of all that wrong. And everybody behind me going, can you believe that? Well, I had no idea. Did you know that? The Bible says there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, here's a picture of what Christ did. When Christ hung, Paul told the church at Colossae, everything was nailed to him. And God then poured out all of the guilt and the judgment and the wrath on Christ for us. So let me just tell you, get over yourself. Get over the guilt. How many have found out you can't change yesterday? Have you ever tried to change what is? You can't. You can't. Whatever has happened has already happened. Somehow you've got to get past where you've been. Amen. You've got to get past it. That's why we have an advocate. It's not for us to just go and live in sin. But if we blow it, God is right there through Christ to forgive us. Amen. To keep us clean and to keep us right. Amen. All right. Christ sets us free from sin, not to sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Christ sets us free from sin, not to sin. Praise the Lord. Let's read our text. It's just not wanting to advance for me as well as I'd like. And he, that same Jesus himself, is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of the entire world. Here's what Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, Paul said, now that you have been set free, you are no longer enslaved to sin. How many found out that we've put on a divine nature? In fact, Peter used the words, I'm not a slave to sin, I am instead enslaved to Christ. In other words, you have put on a brand new nature. Sin no longer rules your life. It no longer dictates your life. You don't no longer live by the appetites of who you were. Amen. When you were a sinner, you did what was natural to you. You did what was normal to you. I told you that John gets a little tough. In the third chapter of John, if we went to the next part of Scripture, he said, whoever's born of God does not commit sin. Now, he's talking from the original King James. If you go back into the original writings, it actually says those who are born of God do not habitually or make it a practice to sin. Are you hearing me? In other words, you don't intentionally say, let me see how many sins I can accomplish before I go to sleep tonight. Why? Because you have a whole new nature. I don't want to treat people wrong. In fact, I don't like it when I have hurt somebody. I don't mean to do it. Sometimes I've done it, and it was done innocently. How I said it wasn't what I meant. Husbands, how many have ever said something your wives took different than how you said it? Come on, thank you guys. You know what I'm talking about. You did. Thank you. Some of the men had both hands up. Some of you was really close like this morning. You know what I'm talking about. But you said something and it was perceived different than how you thought it was coming out of your mouth. Right? You said it one way, but my wife has told me it's not what you said, it's how you said it. So let me tell you what she means by that. She even puts other words. You said this. No, I didn't say that. Well, that's how I took it. Don't leave me out here by myself. Come on, you know what I'm saying, right? It becomes the perception. And sometimes I've said something that didn't intend for it to be hurtful or harmful. And I never want that to happen. Let me just tell you with my wife. I feel like I ought to be apologized. I haven't done anything, but maybe I should say I'm sorry. Now, what I'm saying is that I would never intentionally, are you hearing me? If I love my wife as I ought to, why would I intentionally hurt her? Are you following me? As a believer, I don't want to intentionally hurt the body of Christ. Why would I intentionally, are you guys with me this morning? Sometimes I've said things and people have gotten their feelings hurt, and you know, that will grieve me. Are you with me? It will bother me because that was never my intent. Do you know, oftentimes I didn't even know I did it. Somebody else felt something. I find out later they were hurt over something. I had no knowledge of it. Are you with me? It was never my intent. That was never my intent. I don't think that as a church, are you hearing me? This is what John was writing. Those who are born of God, they don't intentionally practice sin. See, I still believe in some wonderful words the Scripture teaches. And by the way, these are scriptural things in the New Covenant. Abstain, shun, avoid, flee, forsake. Come on. Run. Those things that we are understanding in Scripture that God doesn't want us to do. Why? Because He saved us from sin, not to sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. God didn't save me just so that I could continue therein. In fact, that's what He says in Romans 6. You who have now been set free, no longer under the dictates of sin, don't live there any longer. Amen. Because God saved us. How many are glad He broke the chains of sin in your life? Amen. I've shared a lot about my mom and dad as we were growing up in our home. My mother, when we were young, there was very few words that my mom would not use in front of us. My mom and my dad both, they had a lot of adjectives. that they used in their language, and they didn't think anything about it. And I remember my mom for several years, because I would try to tell her about Jesus, and my mom knew about God. She just didn't know God. And my mom would tell me, she'd say, "Mike, I am never going to be a Christian. I am never going to use that title to define who I am. I am never going to get saved. I'm not doing it." And I would pray for her, and it would discourage me. I would think, "God, when are you going to save her?" One day, my mother gave her life to Christ, but she still wouldn't use that word Christian. She was like, "I'm going to hold my ground. I'm never going to use it." But I watched God. Are you hearing me this morning? I watched the Lord once she gave her life to Christ. I saw the workings of the Holy Spirit in her life. I watched God begin to soften her temper. I watched God begin to change how she acted. I saw the Lord begin to clean up her mouth. Oh, what joy it was to be able to have a conversation with my mom without all the adjectives. What a joy. One day my mother looked at me and she says, "Mike, I am a Christian." Hallelujah. You see, we don't always know. We get things caught up in our lives. We spend time in the world and we pick up these habits of the world. Are you with me? And I got to tell you, those habits are not pleasant habits. And they get into our life, and we get them into our lifestyle, and then we usually circle ourselves around with people that have those same things going for them, and we get them all in, and they entrap us, and we're snared in them. And then God saves us, and He wipes our slate clean. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit begins to work. How many are grateful for the church? How many understand that the church is not for the saved? This place is a place for people to come in and find Christ. Amen? It's for people. And how many have maybe heard people say, and maybe even you thought this before you gave your life to Christ, "Well, I'm not good enough to go to church. Before I go to church, there's some things I got to change. There's some habits I've got to stop. There's some places I don't need to go anymore. So before I go there, I'm going to get right." See, that really was the attitude of the Pharisees, because they felt like where they were was better than where the world was. And so they were too good to have somebody from the world come into where they're at. But Jesus said, "I didn't come to seek the righteous." Amen. "I didn't come to go after those that are already well. A physician comes to those who are sick, who need a doctor." He said, "I came to those who were without, so I could make them what they were not." How many have found Jesus Christ to be a way maker? Amen. How many are glad He brought you out? Amen. And if God will bring you out, He'll bring you in. Amen. What He brought you out of was ugly, but He brought you into something really good. Amen. He is our righteousness. He brought us out so He could save us and make us what we could not be. That's who He is. I've got some things real quickly, because what I've tried to paint for you in 2 weeks, I've tried to point you to just how super abundantly great our God is. How many know we have an extraordinary Savior? Not just an ordinary Savior, extraordinary. He is absolutely more than we could ever hope for. I've got some titles that the Scripture shows us concerning God. His name, Elohim, God, Creator, Preserver, Keeper of His Covenant. Jehovah equals Lord. It represents His holiness, Truth Revealer, Righteousness, Redemption. El Shaddai, one of my favorite titles given, Almighty God, our all-sufficient supply. Can I hear a praise the Lord? A bestower of power, gifts, blessings, the one who makes us fruitful. Adonai equals Lord, our sovereign God. Somebody years ago said, "I can define sovereignty real easy. He's God, we're not." Amen. It means owner of all. He's the owner of everything. His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He will see our needs and He will meet them. How many have found God to be one that can more than meet your needs? Amen. When I look to God, I don't look to a meager supply. I look to the God that owns the cattle on the thousand hills. I know that God is more than sufficient and able to meet my needs. Amen. Let's look at a few more, and then I'm going to close. Jehovah Rapha. Daniel, make your way if you would. Jehovah Rapha equals Jehovah heals. He will heal the bitter waters of this life. You'll know that this came out of the place of Marah, where Moses was commanded to throw the stick in the bitter waters. And when he did, the bitter waters were made sweet. How many have had some bitter situations in your life where God made them sweet? It didn't happen instantly, did it? But God took a bad situation in your life and He turned it around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Where the cross was added and it made the difference. Where you wondered, how's God going to restore that relationship? How is God going to right this wrong? Have you been there? How God is going to fix this? How many have tried to fix things and only made things worse? I must be talking to the same 10 that Chris was talking to. How many have tried to be a Martha? The Martha in the scripture was always the one trying to fix everything. Couldn't understand why Mary wasn't helping her. Always trying to fix things. Usually when you try to fix them, it only makes things worse. But I got to tell you something. God knows how to turn things around. How many this morning are waiting for God to turn something around right now in your life? See, I didn't do this in the first service, but I feel it by the Holy Spirit in the second service. Some of you are right now in the middle of something. You don't know how God's going to fix it. You don't know how God's going to do it. I want to point you to the God of the impossible. With man, it may look like there's no hope. I want you to know we don't serve a God without hope. My God's going to turn your situation around. Come on, stop looking at the doctors. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. I'm saying don't look at them as your only hope. Come on, stop looking at those things that you think this is the answer. Can I tell you, check into cash is not the answer. Did you hear me? Can I tell you, your credit cards are not the answer. God wants to turn some things around. I really believe that. I hope you'll receive that by the Spirit this morning, because I believe that for you. I believe that there's some things right now that God's trying to turn around in your life. Amen. That God's trying to repair some breaches, some things that have been broken down. Come on, some things that have been torn down. And can I tell you, you did it yourself. Some of you tore them down all by yourself. But God's trying to fix some things this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His name is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah, our banner. We are brought together under Him, and He brings us the victory. Can I get an amen? I love this next one. He is Jehovah M. Kadesh. It equals Jehovah who sanctifies us. He sets us apart unto Himself. And the last one is, I got to tell you, it's probably my favorite. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is the Lord my righteousness. I want you to know that I wasn't made right by what I do or what I've done. How many have been set right by God? Amen. Set right. Amen. You know what that means? It means that you're in right standing with God. There's nothing you could do that makes you right. It's only by what He did. How many realize that He paid a debt He did not owe? And how many realize we owed a debt we could not do? How many understand that we had an issue that separated us from God, and that issue was called sin? God took our sin. He didn't just forgive it. He has done that. But he took it. You see, I finally understood. I talked to you about having a wrong concept of standing before Christ. And there he would display for all of heaven to see all of my failures. How many like me? You don't want all that stuff shown, do you? See, he didn't just forgive you. He took it. Glory. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he took my sin. He took my sin. Say, can you prove that in Scripture? Yes. John 1:29. John the Baptist sees Christ. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come on, you ought to give God a hand clap of praise. Come on. You ought to give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. He didn't just forgive us. Stand with me. He didn't just forgive us. He took our sin. He satisfied our accounts. Glory to God. How many would just say you've got a couple of debts? Wouldn't you like those debts to be satisfied? How many have ever paid off something that you were paying on for a long time? Doesn't it feel good when you write that last check? Come on, when you get the title, you just want to go down and trade it in. No, I'm just kidding. No, when you get that title, when you get that receipt that's stamped paid in full, how many know what I'm talking about? How many have ever had to work hard to pay something that you, come on, you dug yourself in and you're trying to dig your way out. You know what I'm talking about? And when you finally pay it off, you go, man, I don't have to pay another payment. That's what Christ did. See, over the account of your spiritual life, in red, there's a stamp that says paid in full. Praise God. Paid in full. And when the enemy would try to accuse you, here's what Jesus says. I bought him. Paid in full. You say, but you don't know. I want you to be real honest, because we got a congregation of people that need to see your honesty right now. Every single one needs to see your honesty. How many be honest with me in all of the congregation and openly admit there's something right now you're struggling with? Just let me see your hand. Something right now you're struggling with. Take a moment. Look around, guys. See, we're not alone. See, God didn't say we wouldn't struggle. He said you'd be free of your sin. Come on. Amen. You're not alone. Every one of us have something that God's still working. Here's what for Philippians 1 and 6 says. He was being confident of this very thing. He who started a good work in you will complete it. Come on, give him another hand clap of praise. Bless us. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're a way maker, God. You made a way for us to come out of sin. You made a way for us to come into righteousness. You provided, God, in your Son, Jesus Christ, favor, acceptance, placement. You've called us your sons. You've loved us. You look past our mistakes. You look beyond our failures. And you look at us. You see us through Jesus Christ as a completed work. We recognize, God, that we're a long ways yet from where we need to be. And yet you see us for the work of Christ. Complete, holy, blameless, righteous. We thank you for that, Lord. Today, God, as we gather, I know there are those that I'm sure that have come into this house and they've carried the baggage of things in their life that they've not yet given to you. maybe there's some here today, and maybe some that will be listening to this message on the internet, who has not yet made a decision for Jesus Christ, who has not yet invited this Jesus to be their advocate. And although he made a way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to come into salvation, you that are listening to me have not yet made that decision. Some of you might even say, well, I've never been invited to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I want you to know, I'm not asking you to get religion. I'm not asking you to follow a list of do's and don'ts. I'm asking you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to receive what is called the gift of salvation, where you would take a moment and invite Jesus Christ into your life, and that you would give him lordship, that you would surrender your life into a loving God's hands, who would begin to mold you and shape you, who would deliver you and set you free, who would fill your life with joy unspeakable. You may say, I don't even know what that looks like, and I don't even know what that means. Well, my friend, if you will enter into this relationship with God, you will know what I'm talking about. Because God will fill you up with his presence. He will give you a peace that the world desperately needs. And you will experience what it is to have God in you. I invite you to make a decision. You that are listening to this by the internet, you say, well, this is something that's already passed. This message is still alive for you. And as our congregation prays, you can right where you're at make that same prayer decision. And as you repeat the prayer that our congregation is going to pray, you can invite Jesus Christ into your life and make him your Lord and Savior today, just as these that are here that may make that decision today. God is an ever-present help. He is right there. So I invite you to do that today. I invite you to pray with us. You say, well, I've never done that before. Perfect. I had never done it before either until I prayed that first time. But I made Jesus Christ my Lord, and I'm inviting you to do that. And if you're ready to do that, we're going to pray as a congregation. Pray with me, church. Heavenly Father, I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, in my life. Forgive my sin. Wash me in your blood. I make you Lord of everything in me. I dedicate myself. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Change what needs to be changed. Move what needs to be moved. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, bless this house, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every family represented. I pray, Lord, that you would protect them, that you would encircle them, God, with a hedge, that nothing the enemy could cast their direction would be fruitful and prosperous, but that you would stop every dart that the enemy would fling, that there would be a standard lifted up by you, God, that would keep your house protected, that no sickness would come nigh, no harm would come forth, that you would just completely protect the believers of this house. I'm thanking you for that. Secondly, God, and I know we've been asking this over and over again, but God, I believe your word declares it, that whatever we put our hand to, you would bless. So I'm asking you to do that, to bless whatever we put forth in our effort, that you would bless it, God, that we would become fruitful in everything that we do, that I believe jobs are going to become better jobs, that I believe jobs will turn into positions, and positions will be promoted, and that you are going to bless your people abundantly, that those that don't know you will see the blessings that you poured out upon their children, and for that alone, it'll make them curious enough to come in and see what's going on. and that we would become the envy of the world because they would see that the God in whom we serve is a good God and that He knows how to bless His children. God, bless every single person that represents this house in Jesus' name. And everybody said in agreement, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. God bless you. If you'd like special prayer, I would